I want to compliment the praise and worship team. You all have gone up to another level. And I know that you're worshipers and not entertainers. And you bring us into the presence of God so that we can have an encounter with God. That's why we come to church, so we can encounter God. Amen. Wow, the presence of God has been, is thick in this place today. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this definitely is a fresh word from the Lord. I got it about 4 o'clock this morning. Woke up with it. But I want to say something. It might be probably more for me than it is you all. But I'm never one that liked titles. Never have been. And the Holy Spirit's really been talking to me about it. Because unless you accept the title, or not really a title, but the calling of what God has placed you into, you can't take ownership of it. You know what I mean? You know, I am a SRNA. In other words, I'm a state registered nurse aide. And because of that, I can walk into any healthcare facility, take ownership of that title, and do what I've been trained to do. Amen. My job at Odonto is I'm a clinical associate. They gave me a list of my job qualifications. So therefore, when I walk into that building in the morning, I take ownership of that, and I can do what I've been called to do, or asked to do, or hired to do. And it's the same thing with all of us. All of us have a calling on our lives. And until we take ownership of that, we can never walk in the power of it. So when you are given a title, it's not so that you can boast about it, because we have all been created to be put on display for God's glory, to show forth God's glory. And so in saying that this morning, I want to say the first thing the Holy Spirit asked me when he said, gave me a specific word for today, he said, I want you to tell the people that you come in the spirit of a prophet today. And I'm very humbled when I say that, because, like I said, I don't like titles. So when I say something, or when someone says something like that, then you automatically think people are going to expect something out of you. So I say that with all very, very humble today. Because the message God has given me today is one of, it's mostly just a prophetic word directly to you, spoken by the spirit of a prophet. Okay? So this morning I stand in that office as that, and not just a pastor this morning, to give you this word. And in doing so, this word is to decree and declare over your life. And in the days ahead, you can go back and you can begin to look at that and glean from that and pull on that. And so when you stand in that office and you say, this is what I'm standing in right now, then you're able to speak forth a declaration with authority, and it's not just a prophecy. But the prophet declares and decrees things into the atmosphere. And, you know, sometimes we don't hit it. But you don't judge the person by one strikeout. Amen. You don't judge the baseball player by his strikeouts. You judge it by his home runs. So if I ever say anything and you're like, just go home and just say, well, she missed it. Amen. Because we're all learning and we're all progressing and we're all on different levels with God and in our relationship with God. So I want you to begin to pray and ask God, what are you really called to do? You're called to disciple people. Everybody is. We're called to be witnesses. Everybody is. But take ownership of that. And then when you take ownership of saying, yeah, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God, and I stand in that position to be a witness for Christ, whether it's behind a pulpit or on your job or wherever God puts you at the moment, take ownership of that. And when you begin to take ownership of that, there comes an authority with taking that ownership, and you begin to act and speak from that position of ownership, because God's graced you with that authority to do so. Amen. So this morning I woke up and I immediately heard the words, the God in you is bigger than any giant behind you. Well, you know, you've heard that before. And that's what I immediately thought. That's nothing that I knew that I haven't heard before. And he said, the God in you is bigger than any giant behind you, before you, or the one that will be there tomorrow. Amen. Anybody hear that? Amen. The God that is in you is bigger than any giant behind you, before you, or the one that will be there tomorrow. The giant behind you, the one that wants to keep you remembering the past. The giant behind you wants to keep you remembering the past before your salvation. The working, the wrong they may have been against you, the could haves, the would haves, maybe have beens. The taunting of the enemy that comes and speaks to your ear. The giant before you today, the one that comes to discourage you, to give you up, to give up. The unexpected doctor's report, the phone call, the middle of the night, the layoff, and those sort of things. Any giant who will rise his head up in your life tomorrow, because it's not if, it's when. He comes when the taunting of it didn't work before. What makes you think it will work now? Look how many times your son or your daughter relapsed and they said they were going to be okay, but it happened again. What makes you think it could be different now? Those are all taunting words of the enemy, of the giant in your life. The familiar story of David, of course, we all know, is found in 1 Samuel 17. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but he hadn't heard a thing about Goliath and the challenge that he was presenting before Israel. He was just excited, I'm sure, just to get out of the sheepfold for a while and go to someplace different. So he asked, when he got there and he began to see what was going on, he said, "What's going on, brothers? What's happening here? Why doesn't somebody take care of this loudmouth, of this person that's coming to taunt you day after day?" First Samuel 30:25 says, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He's come out to defy Israel," they said. "The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He'll give him a daughter in marriage and exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." But notice David's answer. He said, "Who is this? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Not the armies of Saul or the armies of Israel, but the armies of the living God." That makes a big difference. How dare the giant defy the son and daughter of God? And David also sees something else that nobody in the army of Israel has seen. He's defying the people of God. Not just any army, but the people of God. And you know, it takes only one giant to stop you as long as you look at it. The situation that is from the human level, the human viewpoint. And God wants you to take a perspective of the situation. Israel saw Goliath as an immovable object because of what he was saying. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to hear his voice louder than the voice of the Lord and the Spirit that's speaking to you. And that's what caused him to run in fear. David saw him from God's point of view. He's blocking the way of God. So let's go get him. And that's why the enemy wants to magnify himself in front of you. The giant begins to look bigger than your God. The situation begins to look bigger than what you know the word says. So David wasn't a match for Goliath, but when the Philistine took on God, that's when he got over his head, because he was defying the God that was in David. And this is what we must remember when we are faced with the Goliath or giants in life. Don't take it personally. He's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. And that's to defeat you and discourage you so that you'll quit and give in. So the giant is coming after the God in you, the Spirit that's in you. And this is a man who sees Goliath from above and not eye level. Because he knows the God that's in him. David's vision was filled with the God who already delivered him so much before. That's what he saw. He saw God bigger than the situation. And so when the giant tried to enter that arena of his vision, it didn't work. So what are you seeing? Is the giant bigger in your vision than the God that's in you? So David's screen was filled with God. And therefore, everything else that wanted to come into that was nothing compared to the greatness of God that David was seeing. He saw Goliath, but he also saw God, and that's what made all the difference. So the word comes to Saul that at last a man has been found, someone's been found. And Saul can't believe who it was. It was David. David in his eyes was just a kid, someone that was on the backside of the desert taking care of the sheep. No chance in the world could he ever beat this giant. He tells David, you're only a boy, and he's been a fighting man from his youth. You may not look like much in the eyes of people around you. You may not look much in the eyes of the people around you, but God sees something different. And he's going to put you on display for his glory. But not everybody knows your testimony. Not everybody knows where God has brought you from and what God has done in your life. Amen? Or been through and have overcome. Not everybody knows the things that you have already come to get you to the place that you are right now. Not everybody knows the struggle you've been through. And the things that's happened to get you to the place where you are right now. So sometimes when people miss church and they struggle getting to church, don't condemn them for it. Because at the point of your salvation, it may just be a struggle for them to get out of the bed and to get to the house of the Lord. Praise God, they're here. And if they keep on, they're going to be strengthened. And then it's going to start becoming more of a joy. I've got to get to the house of the Lord. Amen. David answered, well, you know, your servant has killed the lion, the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. The giant that's facing me now, he's going to be like the giant that tried to discourage me before. He's just doing it a different way, a different tactic. But the giant that was defeated before, going to be defeated again. Because he has defied the armies of the living God, not just to Israel, not just to people, but those that belong to God. And the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, he's going to also deliver me from this. So the God that healed you before is going to heal you again. The God that delivered you then is going to do it again. Because he's faithful. So I've come to prophesy to somebody today that God has done it before and he will do it again and again and again. And what? Go ahead and say it, somebody. What's he going to do? Again. He's going to do it again. Oh my. And yes, yes, open your mouth and I will feel it, says the Lord. No longer will you be held back by fear. The fear that wants to hold you hostage. To keep you from moving forward. For now I'm loosing the ties that bind you and declare over you today. Freedom rings for you and yours. Step out, up. Step out, step up, for today is a great day of rejoicing as you recover joy, peace, and all that makes you an overcomer in this life. Wow. You know, fear holds you hostage. Fear holds you hostage that you can't move. It stagnates you. And when you're looking at the giant, sometimes it may be easy to be overcome with fear and be stagnated at that point. It holds you in bondage. God says today you're about to recover all. God says today to you that you're about to recover all. The fear that has held you hostage to whatever situation it is. He said that tie has been broken over you. That tie to the past, brother, is broken over you. Because you've chosen to follow the Lord. The tie that has bound your family to this, that, or the other. You stand up and say no more. Amen. David said to Saul, while I was on the backside of the desert, no one was with me except God and the sheep that I was attending and had been taken care of. No one saw the battles I faced and overcame there. I know the God I belong to, and he'll not forsake me now. Because if I've been brought to it, if I have been brought to it, not that God brought you to it. We're just living in a fallen world and we make dumb choices sometimes. Because God doesn't bring you something to prove his glory. God's a good God and the devil is a bad devil. And like I said, we live in a fallen world, and we just make some stupid choices sometimes. So if you've been brought to it, God already knows it, and he's already walked it out and has the plan for you to walk through it. Amen. So if you've been brought to it, by the grace of God, you will go through it. Amen. You will go through it. So he goes into battle with his staff and his sling. And as he heads down the slope, he pauses at the creek bed to pick up 5 smooth stones. And as I begin to study, that's a message there in and of itself. And he says, Goliath says to David, come over here. That's the taunting of the enemy. Come over here, and I'll feed you to the birds and the beasts. That's what the enemy does to us. Go ahead, try that. Just go ahead and try it. You know, he doesn't tell you what's going to happen to you when you do it, though. But that's the taunting of the enemy that puts you in fear. This is what I'm going to do to you. But listen what David answered back. He says, you can come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but he said, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. The name of the Lord Almighty. The God of the armies of Israel. You're not just defying an army, you're defying the God that's over this army. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and I'll cut off your head. Today I'll give you the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And then God's going to put on display my glory, his glory. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Wow. And all those that gather here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, that the Lord delivers, that the Lord helps. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into his hands. And that's what we must understand. We will be obedient and walk in the truth of God's word. But he is in the midst of our battle with us. That we don't do it alone. We don't do it alone. Whatever it may be. So David confidently tells Goliath what is going to happen to him. And that's what we need to do when we face that in our lives. Don't allow it to come in your vision, your spiritual vision, the giant that wants to be bigger than the God that's in you. You tell him what's going to take place. You tell him how it's going to go down. Amen? Because we're already winners anyway. So this is where you tell your giant how big your God is. David says, I come to you in the name of all that my God is. I am. Whatever giant you're facing, the I am there is whatever you need him to be at that moment. In that day of trouble, call upon the I am. He said, my God is bigger than you, and he's going to lay your body down today. Wow. Wow. That's what somebody needs to tell that situation that you're in right now, that the enemy is taunting you and he's told you there's no hope. You need to rise up and go out of this place today. God's going to lay your body down. God's going to lay that thing down. And I'm going to walk through it and over it. With that, David suddenly starts to run. And that's what happens when faith begins to rise in you. And you begin to confess what the word says. There's some things that start to happen. And you begin to run. Instead of being held hostage by fear, you begin to run with the things of God and in the things of God. And as he runs, he puts a stone in his sling, cocks his arm, triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. So many times we want to throw away some old traditions that God says don't throw away. You need to still use them. Because in the church, everybody looks for the newest thing that comes along. The newest thing that comes along. And he said, you just need to use what you've already got in your hands. And he struck him down and killed him. And as long as we have breath in our bodies, we're always going to be overcoming. We're always going to be pressing forward. We're always going to be taken back. Like I said, because we live in a fallen world where people are messed up before they met Jesus. Amen. We still live in a fallen world. Well, the enemy has control over things. Amen. So as long as we have breath in our bodies, we're going to be overcoming, because this world is not our home. We should not be comfortable here and with things going on. And the moment that you get comfortable, you need to talk about your relationship with God. Because it is just a fleeting time that we're here. We're just passing through. So what kind of difference are we making while we're here? So we're always going to be overcoming, pressing forward and taking back. Overcoming. 1 John 5:4-5 says, you see, every child of God overcomes the world. Every child of God overcomes the world. For our faith is a victorious power that what? That triumphs over the world. So who are the world conquerors defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is what? The Son of God. Wow, that's what makes you an overcomer. Pressing forward, the word tells us in Job 17, our scripture for the year, the righteous keep moving forward. Paul said in Philippians 3:12, he said, not that I've already attained, not that I've got it all together yet, or obtained it, or arrived at it, but he said, I'm going to press on. Press on. And if you're pressing, there's got to be some other kind of pressure that's making you press. He said, I'm going to press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Wow. Samuel said, we discovered, 1 Samuel talks about David again. We're going to talk about it, his experience at Ziklag. When his men returned to the camp to find the Amalekites that abducted their wives, sons, and daughters and burned everything to the ground. That no one had been killed, but everything was gone, the possession. And the word goes on to tell us that David wept over the loss until they had no more strength to weep. Have you ever wept over something till you had no more strength to weep? And at that point, your breakthrough is getting ready to happen because you have come to the end of yourself. And God says, I tell somebody today, you need to throw that hanky away and get your praise on. Get your happy dance on, amen? That you have cried long enough about that situation. You've talked to so many people about it. He says to let it go. Woo! Because there's a breakthrough coming in that thing. Hallelujah. And I just heard the Holy Ghost, the hound dog of heaven, is going to come after that. And he's going to break it wide open. And you're going to see victory on every side. Amen. They were so distraught that even entertained thoughts of stoning David for his responsibility in this calamity. Have you ever had anyone blame you for their problems? Yeah. Have you ever had anyone to say, I would be in this situation if it wasn't for you? And you're standing back, I don't know what I did, you know? At times like those, what we have to do, what we do is like David did. He ran to the Lord. He ran to the Lord. What? To strengthen himself. He ran to the Lord to strengthen himself. And this is all talking about the giants that we face in life. The giant that came to destroy everything in David's life at that time. His wife, sons, and daughters. The giant that came to destroy everything. And I thought about the people in Tennessee. Everything gone. If everything was wiped out in your life tonight, would you still trust God? Would you still believe God that he's going to restore and he's going to cause you to recover all? Yeah. So the Lord says that David strengthened himself, and then he began to inquire of the Lord, what am I going to do about this situation? The giant has come in and destroyed. The enemy has come in. The giant is just your enemy. Has come in and destroyed all this. So he began to say, Lord, what do I need to do about this situation? At a time when he could have been tempted to distance himself from the Lord. When the giant comes into your life, we are never to distance ourselves from the Lord. But it should cause us to run under his wing for protection. It should cause us to run to the Almighty. He didn't get resentment over the unfairness of his loss and the people that blamed it on him. Don't get bitter when people are blaming things on you and you had no control over it. Run to God. Strengthen yourself in God. Amen. In verse 8, David asked, God, what should I do? Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake them? And that's where you need to get quiet and listen to the instruction of the Lord and not what your flesh is telling you. Sometimes you have to talk to your flesh and tell it to shut up. The Lord answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and what? Without fail, recover all. Wow. Verse 18 and 19 says that David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken away. Nothing of theirs was lacking. Small, great, such, nor to spoil anything which they had taken. David recovered all. Wow, this is a season some of you are going to recover some things that have been lost. You had no control over it. It was just there one day, gone the next. So I declare over you, this is your season of recovery. Recovery is the action or process of regaining a possession or control of something lost or stolen. That which has been lost will suddenly be restored. This is the time of double portion, I hear the Lord say. What you thought was less is going to be more. You have stood when others have said to give up and quit. God is going to reward you because of your faithfulness. Or you say, well, surely does that mean that God's really going to reward me when I stand and don't quit? Is he really going to reward my faithfulness? Yes. Yes. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel, the Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and their faithfulness. Stand. Time and time again in living this life, we find ourselves needing to stand on the promises of God, even if everything around us is screaming no. You continue to agree with God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So what is the scripture saying? It's saying that all the promises of God are yes, and we agree with that statement by saying amen. Wow. God said all of my promises are yes. And we're like, what about that? What about? No. We'll say amen. Come on, somebody. You need to lift your hand and say amen. That promise is for me. Amen. God has said that yes, we agree with is yes by saying amen to it. I agree with your word, not what is going on around me. Standing on the promises of God that cannot fail. When the hail and storms of doubt and fear assail, the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God that cannot fail. Joshua 21:45 says, the Lord kept every one of the promises that he had made to the people of Israel. So what does this have to do with the giant that we were talking about earlier? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, the promises that I've made for you doesn't have anything to do with that. He said, I've come to bless you and bless you abundantly. So what if the enemy has stole something from you? You're going to recover it. Yeah. Amen. He's going to give you the double portion in it. He's going to restore it because he's your father and he loves you and he wants you to prosper in this life. If he kept his promise to Israel, why would he not keep them to you? Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, put on the complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day. Or the day the giant shows up to taunt you. Put on the God's complete armor that you may be able to resist, stand your ground on the day that the giant shows up and tries to taunt you and to get you in fear and out of faith. And having done all, the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. You're to stand firmly because there's more for you than that there is against you. There is more for you. If we could see in the heavenly realm of all the angels that are singing over us and leading and guiding us, and we need to start commanding them to go forth and do what they're going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to stand this morning. We're going to close this service out by, I'm going to read a song, and I want you to receive this today. It's by Donnie McClurkin, and the title of the song is Stand. Amen. Stand, and having done all, stand. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your word that's for us today, God. that we've decreed and declared over this place, that this is our season of recovery, that this is our season that we're going to see giants, the giants that we've been facing that has harassed us, they're going to fall at our feet in Jesus' name. You're telling us to pursue and recover all. Hallelujah. What do you do when you've done all you can do and it seems like it's never enough? And what do you say when your friends turn away and you're all alone? Tell me, what do you do when you're giving your all and it seems like you can't make it through? Well, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. Just stand and watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, just stand. Tell me, how do you handle the guilt of your past? Tell me, how do you deal with the shame? And how can you smile with your heart when your heart has been broken and filled with pain? Tell me, what do you give when you've given your all? Seems like you can't make it through. You child, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. Stand and watch the Lord see you through. Stand and be sure, not entangled in that bondage again. Just stand and endure, for God has a purpose. He has a plan. Tell me, what do you do when you've done all you can and it seems like you can't make it through? Child, you just stand. You just stand. Don't dare give up through the storm. Stand through the rain, through the hurt, the pain. Don't bow, don't bend, don't give up, don't give in. Hold on to Jesus. Just be strong. God will step in and it won't be long. Hold on. After you've done all you can, after you've done all you can, after you've done all you can, just stand. After you've gone through the rain, prayed and cried. After you've done all you can, just stand. Amen. You receive this word today. Amen. Amen. Things are getting broken up. There is a shift that's taking place in the atmosphere. I have sensed it so greatly in the last three weeks with the praise and worship team that has taken us to another level of worship. There is something being stirred in the atmosphere, and God wants you to grab a hold of it and run with it. There is a refreshing rain falling on you right now, and now's the time to reach out and grab it. And when God begins to do some things in the earth, it's because somebody has come before him and began to pray and began to seek God to come into the earth and do what he has promised he would do. That's why we prophesy. We say, this is the season that it's happening. Has a God always wanted it to happen? Yes. But when it begins to happen, it's because somebody has come into agreement with that word and said, God, it's happening now. That double portion is happening now. That healing is happening now. That deliverance is happening now. That giant is coming down now. Amen. Ha ha, hey, hey. Oh, hadadada manito, shadadiko hosai, yeah. Hallelujah. There's some things being broken up right now. Broken up. So the rain of the Spirit is falling. Hallelujah. And you're going to begin to see a difference in some situation and some things. Hallelujah.
It's beginning to rain.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, Father God.
Hear the voice of the Father.
Yes.
He's saying that whosoever will come and drink of the water.
I invite you to come to the front this morning as Pastor Lamar is singing that song. Just come up here and lift your hands to God. And say, Lord, let your rain fall on me. Let your rain fall on my children. Lord, just rain on my children. Rain on my job. Rain on me, God. We are hungry to see the change, Father God. I ask you to rain upon us today, Father God. Rain upon us today, Lord. Hallelujah. Breaking up that fallow ground. Hallelujah. That we can receive, Lord, from you. In Jesus' mighty name. Yes, God.
He's promised to pour his Spirit out on his sons and his daughters.
Take back to Joel's place, God.
If you're thirsty,
we're hungry,
and
Lord.
Dry,
we're hungry.
Lift
we're hungry.
Your hands to the sky.
Hungry, Lord. Hungry
it's
for more.
To
more
rain.
Of you, Jesus, and less of us.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Father God. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father God. Just let the rain of your spirit flow on her today, God. There it is. In Jesus' name.
I feel Jesus.
The rain of your spirit fall on my brother today, God.
Bring healing, restoration.
Yes, yes, God, in Jesus' name.
I feel Jesus.
In
this place,
abundance of joy,
burn within me.
Let that fire burn stronger for you, which has ever experienced before. Yes, there it is. Fall upon my sister this season, God. Oh, there it is. Basket in her, over her today, God, lavishing it upon her, God. Fire of your Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hunger. Thank you. Thank you for hunger. Hunger, hunger. God says he will satisfy the hungry heart, the longing heart. Yes, a new level of intimacy with your Father as you bear yourself before him. Wow. To know him and not just about him is your portion. Wow.
Hear these praises from a grateful heart. Each time I
thank
think
you,
of
Jesus.
You, the praises
Thank you, Father.
I love
thank you
so
for my mother. Thank you, God. Wow.
Jesus,
just bless her, God,
so
in these latter years, more than her former
Lord,
years,
I
God,
love you.
That your
My
goodness is ready to overtake her
in your presence,
in a mighty way.
Carry it on your wings.
Yes, yes, fire.
Love you so
and
much.
Rain of your spirit.
Love
in Jesus'
you so
name.
Much.
Lord, I just thank
how my soul.
Wow.
Longs for you.
Lord, I just thank you for Jennifer.
Longs to worship
you. I thank
you,
Father, for the hunger that you're placed in her heart to know more about you, to know
in
more
your
of your
word,
to know more about your ways. I thank you, God, that that hunger is going to intensify. It's going to grow. And it's going to spread out to others the compassion that you have put in your heart for other people. I thank you, God, that it's going to expand, that it's going to grow. Fall upon her, Spirit of the living God. Immerse her with your glory and your rain. Rain of your spirit. Fall upon her now.
From a grateful heart.
In the name of Jesus.
Praise
amen and
God.
Amen.
Love you so
thank you for my brother,
much.
God. Thank
Jesus,
you.
Love you so much.
Rain
Lord,
upon him, God.
You,
rain upon him in this season. Let him begin to experience a double portion in every area of his life, God. That what
love
his hands touch,
so
he finds
much.
Blessed.
that he finds favor with every transaction he makes, God. Thank you for letting the rain of your Spirit fall afresh upon him in this season. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you for my brother, God. I command your sinuses to be cleared up in the name of Jesus. I curse that at the very root. And I command your body to be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak complete healing over you right now in the name of Jesus. Let your rain fall upon him, God. Shower him with your glory. Lavish your love upon him in this season. Let him experience a double portion in every area of his life, God. And I call him blessed and highly favored of you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Man, God's goodness. God is good. Amen. Pastor, you have anything? Man, let's be dismissed. Let's stand. Just go out and bask in the love of God today. Father, thank you. Your things are being shaken up. That means there's something new getting ready to take place. Thank you for this time that we've had in your presence and for the encounter that we have had with you today, God. That we begin to walk in that double portion, begin to walk in that recovery, that we begin to walk as you reset our minds to begin to think differently and think according to your word and begin to speak that which you have declared in your word. And we agree. We come into agreement with your yes in your word. We come into agreement with it by saying amen. So be it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus as we leave this place to go out there into our mission field, that we find somebody to love on this week, that we find somebody that needs healing and we lay hands on them and speak healing over them. I thank you, Lord, that we are highly blessed and highly favored by you, and that your goodness and your mercy is running to overtake us. Your blessings are running to overtake us. Capture us with your love, Lord. Lavish us. Continue to lavish us with your love, that we can gain more and more understanding of how much you love us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.